Well, good morning. We welcome you in. It's Wednesday as we have My Car Guru on the air here with the Car Guru, Lenny Lawson, joining us here this morning.
Hi, Tim.
Good morning to you.
So good to see you.
Yes.
Good to see you. You're ready for spring, I see.
Absolutely. We're, 18 days away or 17, 18 days away from the official beginning of spring.
I don't want to brag about it yet. Do you? The fact that spring is here?
No.
We could get a surprise.
We could, and we've done it before in March and even early April before. So,
when was the big snow in, when was that, 93?
93.
April?
It was in March.
It was in March?
And the reason I know that's because my youngest daughter was born during all that.
Okay.
It was in March.
Had to do it yourself.
No, I probably could have, but I chose not to.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had seen it a few times before.
Would you send her out into the woods and let her do it herself, or Indian style?
No, we managed to make it over to Johnson City.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, we had all our babies at the Johnson City Medical Center.
Mm-hmm.
My girls have had all their babies at the Franklin Woods. It was different when we had ours than it is now.
Oh, no question.
They used to put you in a delivery room, or a, like a surgical suite to deliver the baby, and now they just drop the end out of the bed and just do it right
there. Right there in the room. Yep.
Kind of, but it's more comfortable. There's wood paneling.
That makes it more comfortable.
I think so.
Okay. Ambiance is better.
Yeah. You know, nice lighting and stuff like that.
We went from my firstborn.
I'm just glad I'm watching.
Yeah.
Not participating.
My firstborn was born in 1983, and they had to deliver him in a delivery room, mm-hmm. which had a lot of stainless steel in it, I remember, and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we went from that to when the girls were born many years later,
mm-hmm.
right there in the room.
Yeah.
You know, it was done right
there.
You've
done it both ways.
Yeah, both ways.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of Indians, there's the Indians of the Cherokee tribe mm-hmm. are pushing back on the name of a Jeep.
I heard about that.
They don't want it. They don't think a vehicle should be named after an Indian tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I guess a NFL football team shouldn't.
I guess that name, though, with Jeep has been around for a long time.
It has.
Yeah.
It has been around a long time.
We had one of them at one time.
You had a Cherokee?
Yeah.
Jeep
mm-hmm.
Cherokee.
94 model. Mm-hmm.
Well, then they had the Grand Cherokee, you know, came after the Cherokee did.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, there's been a lot of those vehicles sold over the years. Let's see. We have got some interesting news in the forefront. The biggest competitor for Jeep looks like it's going to be, or that Jeep has ever had for their Wranglers, is going to be the Bronco. And recently I read a story about the Ford Bronco and how you can pretty much take it apart. I'm showing Timmy a picture right now of the vehicle with the fenders removed.
How about that?
Have you ever thought that you might want to take off the fenders of your vehicle?
I could see where there might be a certain place that you would go where you might want to do that, but I've never really thought about doing that.
Well, it's one of the most exciting aspects of the new 2021 Ford Bronco, which will start production this month. The 29th.
Is it this month?
Yeah. Okay. So all of those people who were early reservation holders will probably be able to take delivery of their new Broncos in May and June.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will switch over to the 2022 model.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there will be an advantage of waiting because of all the additional, what they're saying, the colors and different editions. They're going to have a Heritage Edition, which is going to be painted very much like the original Bronco. So I think that Ford is going to have a lot of fun with this. Mm-hmm. And I think people who like the rugged off-road type of vehicle where, you know, most people that drive Jeeps never take them off-road. They just like them because they're cool. You know, mm-hmm. they like the way they look. They like that rugged
mm-hmm.
That appearance. And I think that the Bronco is going to provide that. But the Ford Motor Company has decided a lot of people are going to want to buy this thing, and they're going to want to customize it in a lot of ways. So one of the things that's very popular is to put some type of an extension, a wheel well extension, over on the side, or to actually flare the fenders out. Well, there's going to be a lot of companies that will manufacture those now because these fenders are, and the quarter panel itself, are so easy to get off
mm-hmm.
that it'll be something you can do in your driveway. You will be able to order replacement fenders and be able to install them yourself.
Just change them right there.
There's a great video on MotorOne.com that explains how to tear apart the 2021 Ford Bronco. And you can pull the grill, the fenders. You can take, of course, most people aren't going to do that, but you can remove your doors, which a lot of people will do, I think.
It just seems funny to me that you would buy a new vehicle like that and then start taking it apart.
But, you know, that is such a popular thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, customization. I mean, typically when somebody buys a vehicle from us, if we don't offer them accessories, they're going to buy them somewhere else.
Yeah.
They're going to accessorize their vehicle. One of the most popular things is...
Yeah.
There's your phone. One of the most popular things are just WeatherTech floor mats, you know, just to protect their floors. Just about everybody under the age of 50 tints their windows.
Everybody under the age of 50
just about
tints their windows.
Yeah, they think that they want their windows dark.
Mm-hmm.
And they always tint it with illegal tint,
mm-hmm.
meaning too dark.
Too dark.
Yeah, but that's okay if that's what they want to do. I think it's unsafe to do it, especially for night driving. And
well, they like to ride down the road anonymously.
That's right. They don't want to be seen.
Yeah.
But to be able to change the grill, to be able to install rock guards and running boards, and you're going to see... also in this video, they show you how to remove the top. And it's a pretty easy process. You have to have some tools to do some of this work. But guess what? Ford is providing the tools.
I'm sure. So
with
you can't just use a Swiss Army knife or something like that.
Well, it'd have to be a pretty sturdy Swiss Army knife.
Okay.
No hammers, no tools out of Dad's Craftsman toolbox. You need to use the ones that Ford sent you.
Okay.
But they are all made to fit the type of head pattern and the different connectors and stuff. So, you know, you do have to unplug some electronics when you do that, but Ford has made that easy as well.
Mm-hmm.
With quick release connections. And so it's going to be interesting. I think we're going to sell a lot of accessories for these things.
Mm-hmm.
We may even create... I was thinking about putting a big old pile of rocks outside in front of the dealership and park one on top of it. You know, just use that as the kind of the display for the Ford Bronco. We intend on selling a bunch of them. I think most Ford dealers do. If you're interested in a Bronco Sport, we got two more in the other day, and you can come down and test drive it or buy it if you'd like to. And we also have the Mach-E Mustang. I want to invite people to come down. I drove it to the radio station yesterday. But if you want to come down and drive that thing and see what an electric vehicle, a full battery electric vehicle, drives like with no obligation to buy it, because I can't sell it. I can't sell this one.
Yeah.
I can order you one, but I can't sell this one.
Ford wants people to drive this.
Yeah. This was for test drives only, and we keep a little list. And folks are really enjoying it and coming back. Everybody's coming back. Likes it. At least 50% of the people, based on our non-scientific questioning and study, would say they would consider buying one. 50% say, nah.
That's pretty good, though, really, for something that new, 50%. Mm-hmm.
But I think if you really think about it, I think that number will go down, the number of people that would actually buy it,
mm-hmm.
when they start thinking about traveling and stuff like that. But I think for most people, most uses, this is a very functional, interesting vehicle. It's not cheap. This one is a all-wheel drive premium package, which is loaded. I mean, it's got about everything that you can get. It's all-wheel drive. And it's $55,000 minus the $7,500 tax credit that you get for buying it. So if you don't pay any taxes, then the tax credit won't do you any good.
Yeah.
But if you actually pay more than $7,500 in taxes, then the tax credit will save you $7,500.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty good thing. So anyway, come on down, test drive it. We'll take our first break and be back here in just a minute.
And we are back here. It's Wednesday morning as we bring you My Car Guru, Lenny Lawson, live and in studio.
It's probably a little early, but I pulled my camper out to de-winterize it. I have it in outside storage, but it's covered.
Mm-hmm.
I have a big 3,000-square-foot storage building. We keep trailers and, you know, some old cars and old signs and stuff like that in behind my location on the east end of town, and pulled it out to get all the antifreeze out of it, and hopefully I'm going to use it this year. You know how many times I went camping last year in it?
Did you tell me once or none?
None.
That's what I thought it was, none, yeah.
Pulled it over to the house, sat it in the backyard on the driveway, plugged it in, and the kids
use it as a playhouse.
Yeah. Well, you're supposed to. Last year was the year when people were supposed to camp more because of the COVID stuff.
That's a $40,000 playhouse.
That's a pretty good playhouse.
It's ridiculous. So I put it up for sale.
Mm-hmm.
And I had some bites and people were interested in it, but you can buy new ones, you know, pretty cheaply right now. The problem with campers is they're just not available. I mean, they're having as hard a time getting product as we are, but the RV industry had a phenomenal season
mm-hmm.
last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that continues for them. You know, the whole pandemic thing has made kind of changed the way people think about vacationing and travel, don't you think?
Yeah, oh yeah.
And, you know, being careful and just being around your own stuff, you know, not touching other people's stuff. But camping is such a beautiful thing. And I had one of the reasons I didn't camp last year is because I couldn't get a reservation. I tried like four or five different times to get a reservation at,
yeah.
Davy Crockett. And at that really cool new place on Douglas Lake.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what it's called, but you have never seen a campground like that, that one.
Mm.
It is a luxury campground, but try getting a spot.
Yeah.
You probably have to make reservations a year in advance. I don't know what I'm going to do in a year, you know?
All right.
But anyway, there's so many different ways to get into this. And I know you've camped. You've tent camped. You've had a travel trailer before, haven't you?
Yeah, I had the pull behind one time for a while.
Yeah. Of course, when I was young, my dad used to love to take us tent camping, and I was in the Boy Scouts, so I had a lot of experience going to Boy Scout camp and stuff, and I realized that I don't sleep good in a tent. I just don't, with all the crickets and the chirping and the bears and lions.
We did a lot of tent camping when the kids were young. We would go out and tent camp, and I say young, I mean they were old enough to appreciate what they were doing and everything and help, but we did quite a bit of that. Went to over to Warrior's Path quite a bit in tent camp. I never had any problem sleeping. The problem was the weather being so unpredictable.
Well, that's true.
And it's just not a good, I don't know, you get to the point in age, now when you're young, you probably don't mind too much, but you get to the point in age where you don't want to mess with tent camping and it's pouring the rain.
Right,
you
know what I mean? And that's why we went with a pop-up. Our first real family camping thing was a pop-up. And pop-ups are ideal for a smaller towing vehicle. Or if you're not going to stay for a long time, you know, unless you just really like a tent atmosphere, pop-up mm-hmm. gives you a platform, you know, step up into. Some of them even have showers. Some mm-hmm. of them have air conditioners,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you can use. But it is a little bit of work to get it all set up, but mm-hmm. that is a good entry-level way to get in and not spend $30,000 or $40,000 on something.
Plus, you can pull it to your towing capacity. You can pull it to with something,
yeah.
you know.
You could pull with your Ranger.
Pickup truck.
Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. small pickup truck.
Mm-hmm.
Our second venture, we traded I sold the pop-up outright to an individual and then went up and bought my first travel trailer. And it was a 28-foot, pretty good size, and we went on one vacation in it, and I realized that I never want to do that again. It was a week. It was, you know, my son took his best friend, so there were four kids. And then Tara and myself, and it was like 98 degrees. We went to Williamsburg
mm-hmm.
and camped, you know, in that area, and then went mm-hmm. to Washington, D.C. and stuff. Mm-hmm. Had a great time, but I realized I'm done with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not fun. So I ended up selling that off, and it wasn't until 2 years ago I decided, okay, I'm going to plunge back into this thing. Or no, it was really 3 years ago, and I bought an Airstream, the little Airstream base camp. And it was only 16 feet long. I figured, you know, with my grandson and my wife and myself, we would be able to go to these little campgrounds, and it would be something better than just sitting around the house. And I was wrong about that as well. It was better to sit around the house because that Airstream was a piece of junk.
Mm.
You know, you think about Airstream being high quality, and they probably are, and I don't mean to offend Airstream users, but I'm telling you, Airstream did not have the base camp figured out when I bought it. It was the first year. And we were cramped, but it was fine. If it hadn't leaked all the time, I would have been okay with it.
Yeah, I think people that love Airstreams, it's more about the nostalgia of it. The look of it, like a silver bullet type look. You know?
So I traded the 16-foot Airstream for a 34-foot travel trailer. Now, whenever you jump around like this, the good thing about for me is I'm a car dealer, right? And so I have access to just about any type of vehicle that I need to pull something with. Well, the average consumer does not. You have to buy the vehicle or the camper that matches your towing capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to get that information from the dealer or from the internet about the towing capacity on your vehicle and understand what options you have and don't have on your car. Does your car have the factory towing package? Or does it just have an equalizer hitch on the back? Or does it have a frame hitch on the back?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't, if you buy too much camper and you don't have enough cooling capacity, you don't have a transmission cooler, you don't have a heavy-duty radiator, you don't have the right gearing in your rear axle, you're going to be disappointed when you're towing. And what are you going to do with your camper? You know, how are you going to go on? Is it going to be your vacation vehicle? Are you going to pull it to Hilton Head and stay at the KOA campground?
Yeah.
If you've never done that before and you've always been staying in a condo or a nice house, you may not like it.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I would recommend not buying a camper. Rent one. I don't care how expensive they are.
Yeah.
Before you throw it $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 at a camper that's going to be worth half that a year from now, rent one. There's plenty of rental places. You can rent motorhomes. I think you can rent a motorhome, and that's probably what I'd recommend is maybe a Class C
mm-hmm.
motorhome.
Mm-hmm.
That's one that has like a van body on the front of it or a truck body.
Yep.
Class A motorhomes are the really big ones with the flat noses. And
diesel pushers.
Yeah. Well, some of them are pushers and some of them aren't. You know, a lot of them have just big Ford or GM gasoline engines in them.
Yeah.
But you've got to figure out if you're the kind of person that really likes to do all the setup and the packing and stuff like that. I mean, the thought of it is great, you know,
mm-hmm.
but the reality of it may not be so great. The best way to find that out is
well, it reminds me of a swimming pool. You know, some people think about a swimming pool and they get it and then they figure out, man, this is a lot of work. Maybe it's not worth as much as I thought it would be, you know.
Yeah. I remember when I set up this latest camper. I mean, I knew what I was in for. I'd never hooked up the sewer and done all of that stuff, and that's not real pleasant.
No.
You know? And, you know, you're sitting right beside somebody else who's doing the thing, mm-hmm. the same thing. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, you've just got to figure out, now, is this really what I want to do? And many times it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not all going to the campground and grilling hot dogs and going down and kayaking and stuff like that. There's a lot of work involved.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk a little bit more about some of the different types of campers here in just a minute.
And hey, we're back here for the final couple of minutes of My Car Guru Wednesday morning talking camping.
You know, fifth wheels are where you have the towing mechanisms in the bed of the truck. They're a lot easier to tow. It's like pulling, a lot of the bigger ones are like pulling a condo behind you. You can disconnect. You can leave the thing sitting at the campground and then use your tow vehicle. But your tow vehicle has to be a pretty heavy-duty truck, at least an F-250, a Silverado 2500, a Ram 2500 to be able to handle it. If it's a really big fifth wheel, then you're going to need dual rear wheels.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to need a dually. What we've been selling a lot of, we used to sell a lot of F-350s,
mm-hmm.
but people have found that the F-450 is a much better towing vehicle. It has a totally different type of suspension, a much shorter turning radius, and it just does a better job handling the load. It's so important to balance out the vehicle with the camper that you're getting.
Yeah.
And, again, do not rely on what the camping people tell you. Most of them are going to be great and are going to steer you in the right direction, but some of them just want to sell a camper.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, you can handle it. Your vehicle will handle it. This mm-hmm. easy, you know. And they don't really know. There's all different kinds of toy haulers out there also. If you like to do four-wheeling and off-roading and motorcycling, they have garages kind of basically on the back end of the camper, and it's really neat to be able to carry mm-hmm. your stuff with you. Smaller living quarters, but a huge area back there to haul stuff. We see a lot of them at the racetrack
yeah.
that actually have the whole back of the camper folds down, and you have a platform. Like a back porch that you can sit on. They are just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
There are truck campers that actually go into the bed of a truck. You've seen those many times mm-hmm. where it just kind of a slide in. This is okay if you don't mind driving everywhere with your camper, you know, mm-hmm. attached to the back. I kind of like to leave the camper at the campground and
right.
be able to be separated
right.
from it.
Yeah.
Motorhomes are the same way, except with a motorhome, if it's got the capacity, you can tow a car behind it. You know, you can get a car dolly or you can pull a trailer that has a vehicle on it to, you know, go around the campground. And
mm-hmm.
It would just be nice to not have to drive the camper everywhere.
Yeah.
So really think through this before you take the plunge and buy something and spend all that money. Because truly, you will lose your Hiney if you try to trade it in 1 year and you realize, oh, boy, this was a mistake.
Yeah.
The depreciation that first year is brutal.
Yeah.
And maybe better now since vehicles are so hot and such short supply. But this situation will correct itself as the pandemic goes away. So just be careful.
All right. That'll do it for My Car Guru on this Wednesday morning, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.